Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an azeem, a great ni'mah, a great and valuable gift and ni'mah that He has given to insan, to the human being. And that is in the form of life. Life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being life, the ability to live and breathe. And this is a very valuable thing indeed, the gift of life. This is not some insignificant gift or a minor thought or resource, rather very and extremely valuable indeed. And those who are living in this world, in the universe, and everything that's in this universe is for the human being. And the most valuable thing for a person is his or her own life. And it's sad to see that we, with respect to our lives, have not understood the value of life. We have not understood the value of life. The how valuable and important is the life that we have been given. Our situation is such that if we have a think here, that let's take a child who is playing, and sees something shining like a diamond, and a child sees this and picks it up and sees it's very nice and looks good, and then it goes to the shop nearby and says that, "Can you give me a sweet and I will give you this as payment?" And the shopkeeper will see that diamond and he'll be shocked. There's such a valuable, priceless diamond, and he'll take it straight away and give the sweet to the child. The child will be so happy that, "Oh, I've bought a sweet today with this stone that I found." And we, in the same way, we have not understood life beyond this, you could say, this example, and this extremely valuable life. In comparison to this, we have bought the desires and the enjoyments of the world, which are temporary, which diminish and are finished in front of our own very own eyes. And the value of these things in the dunya diminishes in front of us day by day, regularly. But our aql becomes blind in the greed to attain dunya, the taste and the enjoyment of the world makes us blind to reality, and we don't understand and think about this priceless treasure of life. We don't even think about where we are going. Rather, the enjoyment of world, taste of dunya, such small things, we consider them as massive and big and important, and we make them the objective of our life, that we then run after those small insignificant things for the rest of our lives. Now our life, our methodology, our way of living is ajeeb. It's ajeeb. We have come just to pass time, isn't it? Our objective is that time needs to pass. Let's kill time, quickly pass time, eat and drink and enjoy wife, children, weddings, and more children and more weddings, and then we're free. And when our children, their children's weddings, and I'm free, I'm totally fine. Everyone's wed off now, and that's it, and I can retire now. We have no objective further than this in life. We don't know further than this. And maybe if Allah has given us the tawfiq that in our old age, sometimes salah and namaz, we get the tawfiq to pray faraid, and then a person considers himself to be a pious. But in comparison to that, we commit so many sins that we even diminish the importance of those few ibadat that we were doing. And if Allah gives us the tawfiq to do ibadat, worship, or to do a good deed, we don't understand the importance. And because of sins, we'll even sell that opportunity of good deeds. So the first thing here, my brothers, my friends, is that some years back, let's look back in our lives and see who were we, where were we, what were we, and now let's see where we are. The time has passed. We've gone progressed. At one stage I was young, I used to play, I was a child. And today a man is a grandfather, chacha, nana, mammu, all these titles of relatives beneath us in terms of age, because we've progressed so far in age. And the form, the figure, the appearances change, the color, the complexion of the face changes. And a person, he changes, the phases change, but aql, understanding, doesn't come to our life. And a person wastes the breath of life. They come and they go, they come and they go. We cannot imagine the value of each breath. If only Allah Ta'ala can open our eyes, Allah can, if only we open our eyes of negligence, that such valuable moments and seconds, and the conclusion of this is that we are just picked up and thrown into the grave and we die. That's the end of the story. We have no value in the grave and we become soil and dust, that human being who, Allah Ta'ala says, the value of the human being is what? Allah's given an example here, that when insan, the human being is so valuable, that when the human being will come to me, then his life, Allah Ta'ala says, when I buy his life, the value of the life of the human being, and Allah Ta'ala says, that valuable, priceless life, when he will see the rewards, the human being, he can never imagine, these are the rewards for the deeds that I implemented. To this extent, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give him rewards upon rewards upon rewards. Such a reward, one will come. Allah Ta'ala says that I will allow that person to see me visibly. A massive, the greatest reward. Then that person will realize, subhanAllah, life was valuable. Life really was valuable. And on the other side, people like us, poor souls like us, who've come to pass time in the world. We are trapped in the corners of the dunya. And we're just here to pass time, kill time. Morning pass, afternoon pass, evening pass. Just pass the time so notes come, so money comes, so currency comes into hands. So these assets come and resources come and titles come and status comes. That's what we've come for, isn't it? In the morning we do the same, in the evening we do the same. What is the consequence of this? What is the consequence? That we'll be thrown into the soil of the grave and the spiders and the insects will devour us. End of story. Name gone and physically we're gone and objective gone. So these are two opposite objectives. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding and awareness of this. Today, individuals, this is not hidden, this reality from our eyes. It's not just one example of what really is the true objective of life. There are thousands of examples in front of our own eyes, each and every one of us, that people who had the life like us, they used to get married and eat and they used to drink and they used to sit and they used to consume things. And the same life, they made it valuable, understood the objective. Today, centuries have passed, maybe decades have passed, and their names are alive. They weren't kings. They weren't leaders of great lands. They didn't have big palaces and mansions. They didn't have land and plots and resources, nor did they do anything to run after dunya. But they made their life so valuable, extremely valuable, they made their lives, that alhamdulillah, that even in this world, Allah Ta'ala showed them the value that their name now, their value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the announcement that in the dunya Allah Ta'ala announces that this person is very valuable. People understand him. That you see him walking around, but he is very, very valuable, Allah Ta'ala says. Very valuable, that you don't know that he is so valuable, that due to this person, Allah Ta'ala says, I give rizq to people in the world. Due to this person, I give the rains in the world, Allah Ta'ala says. Me and you, what are we thinking? That we are something special? How sad. How sad. That a person should change his lifestyle and objective and purpose and targets. These are examples in front of us. I can be like this. You can be like this. A woman can be like this. A man can be like this. So Allah Ta'ala has given us examples here. That consider, you understand what you're about for the sake of Allah. Open your eyes of negligence. Open your eyes of negligence. And understand your real objective, what you're here for. Allah Ta'ala says. Why do we consider our breaths as a waste, without any value? Why do we think that each day has no value and objective? And it's not difficult. It's not difficult to understand. It's difficult is when we don't understand the objective of life. That's when it's difficult. So if a person knows that Allah Ta'ala is the guide and Allah is explaining to us, defining the objective of life, and we have examples and statements, and rather there's tafsir, commentary, detailed, then there's nothing hard about understanding what we are about. Then there's nothing hard for us to understand at that time. So a person should have determination and drive. So first we need to align our mindsets. That we are taking our life to the wrong track, to the wrong route, to the wrong path. We've given a wrong direction to life. Life is very quickly going to terminate and we're just passing time. Life isn't about passing time. Don't get lost in these attractions of the world and the so-called enjoyments of the world. We haven't come here just to pass each day, oh, I've got spare time, I've got time to waste. No, every breath of a mu'min is valuable. We need to understand the value of the breaths that we've been given. We need to understand this. And alhamdulillah, it's not difficult. I can say to you, and I can say very clearly and confidently, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, that if we make ourselves those who want to go on the path, then there are many to guide us to the path, to the right path, to the right direction. I am in front of you, and I'd like to share with you about Kutub al-Aktab, Sanad al-Awliya, Ghaus of his time, Hazrat Sheikh Ali Murtada, Nurullah Marqada, and I'd like to present one of his nasiha to you. Hazrat said to me, first and foremost, a nasiha. And he gave me this nasiha and advice. When I went into the service of my Sheikh Hazrat, then he presented both sides of life to me. Every wali of Allah does this. Some people then understand. And those who are like donkeys, they remain as donkeys. The Quran has told us that they will not understand in the beginning, nor will they understand in the end. But this is the hukum of Allah, that explain to people, tell people. Allah Ta'ala says, when my fadl and karam and grace comes to a person, he quickly understands, if he wants to understand. So I remember an event in Ramadan just passed, that our majlis, the gathering we had, then regularly individuals would come during Ramadan for gathering and collecting charity donation. We'd meet such individuals, and our majlis was happening after Asr, and another individual came that day, and he himself announced. What did he announce? And I saw him, he was there announcing a mashallah. And he introduced himself. It was a big madrasa. He was a Shaykhul Hadith, and he used to teach in that institution. And as far as I can remember, that he was a graduate from Deoband some time back. And when I saw, then he was wearing a dhoti, a lungi. And I don't remember that anyone has come, an alim, a scholar from India, and he's come wearing this libas. I've not seen this. I ask forgiveness for saying this, but I've not seen this totally. So when I saw this, that many people, mashallah, we do ziyarah, we meet, introduce. So when I saw his style and he was wearing a dhoti, a lungi, then my heart was filled with love at that time. Filled with love. And by chance, the subject that came to my mind, then the other thing that I observed was that he didn't go downstairs for the collecting the donations. Rather, he just sat there. Now, I tell you, this is the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, that when aql, the people who have aql, yes, they are normal people, there are thousands of alims and other people who come and go, but the difference here, I'm telling you, this is why Allah Ta'ala says that, explain to people, tell people, oh my mahbub, explain to the people, Allah Ta'ala said, it's my fadl that will give the people the improvement. So, individuals come from far and wide and they will explain. But, from thousands, one is born who is a person who really makes effort. This is the reality. From thousands, and because now we are in that generation of one in hundreds of thousands. May Allah Ta'ala make all of you the same, and this is my dua. This is my prayer. So, the subject that came to my mind, and that subject, I can't remember now what I was speaking about. So people went, and then I used to leave after a while. This is Ramadan, and he hadn't gone either. And after leaving, maybe there was just a few of us left, and he came to me straight away at that time. And then I felt that definitely he was waiting for me. And we sat down, and obviously such a big alim, a scholar, and I met him, I did musafa, and I said, Hukam Hazrat, what is it? Please instruct. And he said that, I heard your words and I want to change my life, he said. Subhanallah. I said, Hazrat, what do you mean that you are the person who changes others in the world? He said, no. That the time that I have passed after this majlis, I have realized that I have a severe need to change my life and my objective. What a great karam and mercy. And Allah Ta'ala improved and changed his direction. And look at his other words after that. He said that, is it possible that somehow you straightway bring an imamah so I can wear an imamah? SubhanAllah, imagine this. And so then I said, one of the brothers, I said, I'll try and get an imam and I'll give it to you. And the third question, he said, Hazrat, that you spoke about dhikr. So what dhikr is it that you explained? Straight away teach me that dhikr that I need to do. And the fourth point, you said that tawbah, that you spoke about tawbah and repentance, and then he started to cry. And he said that, allow me, instruct me, explain to me how can I do tawbah as well. And I kept on looking at his face and I said, Subhanallah, his name now I remember. Mulana Sayyid Kaleem Sahib. Sayyid. And then I implemented his orders, his instruction, whatever he said, I continued to do. And then I was thinking for quite a while that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your glory. After that, I've not met him because this was one majlis and I didn't recognize him. And he was wearing an imamah. And mashallah, there was a noor on his face. And in the majlis, he came in front of me in the gathering and there were quite a few people. It was darkness in the masjid. And I said, I don't recognize you. He said, you don't recognize me? Then he explained his name. I said, oh, mashallah. And he was totally different. Allah shukr, we're grateful to Allah that how Allah ta'ala gives the guidance and direction. So this is the reality of life. That I went to Hazrat, my Shaykh, and Hazrat showed me both directions, just like the Wali of Allah does, that you are wasting your time. Make your life valuable and precious. So I ask you a question, that how do we make our lives precious and valuable, my friends? So do you have an answer? Do you have an answer? Tell me. Do we make it precious with money, with wealth, with factories, with businesses? With which action shall we make our lives precious? How do we make our life valuable? Very simple question. How? What do we do? How? How can I make my life valuable if I don't know how to make my life valuable? What is the value that Allah Ta'ala says that I can do actions that will increase the value of my life? That I gave you an example here. It's not from words that we make the life valuable. I'm an ashik of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and I do all of this practice, etc. No. Allah Ta'ala has given us a hukam that amal, practice, action, you have to move. Allah says you have to move to get the value, the appreciation of the value in your life. So how can we make our lives valuable and with which action will our life become wretched and with no value? There's only one thing. And what is that? Qurbi ilahi. Nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's qurb. As soon as a person, the servant of Allah, gets closer to Allah, the more a person gets closer to Allah, then his value starts to increase moreover. Remember this point. The more a person gets closer to Allah, the more a person gets closer to Allah, what will he become? He'll become valuable. His value will increase. He'll become expensive. With a high price tag, closer to Allah, Allah Ta'ala says that person becomes valuable. When the person becomes valuable, has a high price tag, very valuable, and those people, who's the most valuable person who came to this world, and he was the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember this point. So, all of the valuable people, the people who have passed away, who were valuable, who are now valuable, and they have one basis, the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qurb ilahi. And their life is weighed based on the qurb. The more they are close to Allah, the more they will be close to Allah, the more they will be good and virtuous. And the person, more he's away from Allah, further away from Allah, then he is useless and a waste and he becomes the fuel, the stones of hellfire. So let's now analyze and see what our lives are about. We haven't passed away yet. There's still time, isn't there? So today let's start, alhamdulillah, and we will become successful. If we start today, Allah Ta'ala says that I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. I'm not far away. So you need to come close to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, I'm close, but you are far from me. Subhanallah. So this is the guidance, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says that I'm very close to you, extremely close to you, but you haven't attained my nearness. You haven't come close to me. You haven't found me. So Allah says, you need to come close to me. And the person who comes close to me, he'll become valuable, valuable, valuable. So what we realize here is that the objective of the life of a mu'min, what we need to attain is what? Qurbi ilahi. Nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to attain in the world whilst we're living here. So do we understand the point here, what we need to do? Allah ta'ala says that if you waste time, then your life will become useless. So it's obvious the people who are close to Allah, what will come to them? The rahmah of Allah will come, the mercy of Allah will come, the barakat will come, their maqam will increase, their status will increase. But our objective is not this, that we are getting close to Allah so that our shops start running nicely and our houses start multiplying. This is not our focus and objective. This is not the meaning of why we need to get close to Allah. This is not the reason why we need to get close to Allah. And those people who want to be further away from Allah, far from Allah, then their life is like the life of the monkeys and the jinnat and problems and difficulties and ghost stories and no aqeedah, no this or that, no actions, totally wandering around like headless chickens. Iman comes, iman goes, we sell our iman. Somebody that go towards this bid'ah or innovation or dhulm or injustice, or they make someone else a god, or run after something else, and thousands of different techniques of living life. Just they know La ilaha illallah, and that I am fine, I am pious. Why? Because that person is far from Allah. That person is far from Allah. He doesn't know what he should be doing. So if we now compare ourselves, very easily we can compare that are we close to Allah? We have the love of Allah, the nearest to Allah, or are we further away from Allah? For example, if we have the fast or umrah, etc., then compare the how many sins am I committing, and then we'll understand. So there's no value in the eyes of Allah of umrah or pilgrimages or worship or extreme worship. But what about the sins that I'm committing? If I'm still committing sins, then there's no value for the ibadah. So there has to be an amal. They have to do a specific action that protects all of our deeds, and that is to leave the sin. Subhanallah. So brothers, only those people can tell us who are close to Allah that how can we get close to Allah. The see, Allah Ta'ala has given many paths to attain His Qurb. There's not only a few ways, there are many ways to attain the nearness of Allah. The Quran takes a person close to Allah, Salah takes a person close to Allah, the Tabligh takes a person close to Allah. Every action, worship, sadaqat, giving charity and zakah, everything, ilm, there's no action that doesn't. And then, if we look at the kalamat, Subhanallah, they are untold without any limit. Kalimat, if we look every word of the Quran and the Fazail, if I do this, then this will happen. If you read this and recite this, Jannah will open up. Is there anything lacking that Allah Ta'ala has not given to us? There's nothing lacking, is there? For Allah Ta'ala's Qurb, for Allah Ta'ala's Nimes, Allah Ta'ala has kept so many paths and actions that can take us to Allah's Qurb. So what is the point we need to understand? That we need to start looking for Allah Ta'ala's Qurb, and we can get lost in thousands of ways to attain Allah Ta'ala's Qurb, Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Insan gets lost. If we start to travel, because there's nafs and shaitan, then a person, when he tries to himself, okay, I'll recite these kalimats, I'll do these actions, and every day a person will change his direction, and he will not have istiqamah on anything, and he'll get lost, that individual will get lost. And a person, when he seeks the path himself, then he gets lost. I'll give you an example. You're traveling on a journey, and you're on a road, and you need to get to a certain place, certain target, and there's no sign, and you look yourself, sometimes you turn left or right, or you take this slip road, or you'll ask for directions, and you maybe get lost. And if you get the signboards that tell you how to get there on the road, then that will make the journey easy, won't it? So, if a person follows the signboard, if he is lost, so the first thing a person does, and he looks at the signs and he takes the turns and the direction and the guidance, and then the manzil, the destination, will come. So the person who doesn't follow the signboards and follows his own opinion will get lost, but the person who follows the guidance will get there. So the walis of Allah, the sheikh, the pious people, they are like the signboards on the motorway, on the journey. And this is the authentic way, because the wali of Allah himself has already passed through the ups and the downs and the challenges, and he can tell us what to do. So today I would like to explain 4 points about such a wali of Allah, and you are very fortunate that these words are reaching to you. And these are the secrets that were between the Shaykh and the Murid, that were between me and Hazrat, and I'm explaining these to you. Very, very lucky are we if we listen to this nasiha of Hazrat Sahib. And Hazrat didn't give me talqeen, that repeat, explain to the people. Many other times, as I said, that tell people these things, but 4 principles, 4 points Hazrat told me that became the principle of life, alhamdulillah, to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, and the best way to reach Allah Ta'ala's nearness, because He was a signboard, He was the guidance. 4 things. But what do we need to do these? We need to have determination, we need steadfastness, and we need desire to get to the destination. When a person has desire to get to the destination, then a person gives many sacrifices. He gives up many of his desires and attraction that I need to attain something. So he has to give up a lot of his time and effort to get to that destination. In the world, for example, if you want something, if you want to get something that you like in the world, you give up a lot of time and a lot of effort to get that thing. You make a lot of effort to get there or to get something. So if we want to attain Allah's nearness, then obviously we have the signboard. But the car, it should be there with the petrol, with the fuel, like we're sat here now. And that's when the signboard will give the direction. When there's fuel in the car, if you've got the car ready, a person's got determination and steadfastness and niyyah and intention, that I want to improve my life. I need to make my life valuable. I don't want to live the life of animals, and so I don't want to become the food for the scorpions and the animals in the grave after I die. There are two paths for the grave. That do I want to be devoured? But rather, before I get to the qabr, before I get to the grave, I need the carpet to be laid out for me and the light bulbs to be put on for me. I want the angels to be waiting for me. This is better to get me the rewards, rather than that I am devoured by the animals. So we need to hear this. A person who has niyyah, and if we hear this guidance and advice, and we think that definitely this will give me improvement, then we'll have to give some sacrifice, we'll have to make some effort, we'll need steadfastness, we'll need to put some energy in, and then we'll get the right consequences and the rewards. So in this life, we don't know if there's 10 years left, or 20 years left, or 15 years left. Even if there's 2 years left, no problem. There's 1 year left, no problem. We will persevere. Even if there's 10 hours left, no problem. I've made niyyah that I want to do these actions from today. I'm going to prove myself. Then even if I get this, then in 10 hours I will attain the success. This is Allah Ta'ala's path, not the path of the dunya. So this is the easiest path to attain Allah's nearness, and the hardest is to attain Allah's nearness. These two things are opposite. There's distance from Allah and the nearness to Allah, but it's easiest and hardest. So Hazrat explained about Qurbi Ilahi, the nearness to Allah, that there are four principles. Hazrat explained four points, valuable points. Number one, to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, that if you want to attain Allah Ta'ala's Qurb, you want to make your life valuable and precious, then remember one thing: do dhikr kathira, in abundance. Yes, didn't say dhikr on its own, rather Hazrat said do dhikr kathira, in abundance, in high quantity. Become fana, lost in dhikr, that every atom and particle of your body is remembering Allah. And this is dhikr kathira. If you do dhikr in the morning, shall I do it in the evening? Can I do it here? Shall I do 3 tasbih or 12 tasbihs? This is not dhikr of Allah. This is qurbi ilahi. We need to attain Allah's nearness. Do dhikr in high quantity, high abundance. What is that? Every hair of yours should start to remember Allah. This is for those people who want to make their lives valuable. It's not difficult, alhamdulillah, to make life valuable. You need to have determination, and inshallah you will get the maqam, you will get that station, and your whole body will start to do the dhikr of Allah, will remember Allah. And here, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came to give guidance to the whole world, and he came to introduce people to Allah, our Rabb. And Rasulullah said, this is how you meet Allah. He got wed, he was married, he had children, and he had grandchildren. Everything, he followed the life, he had a business, he was tajara, and there were clashes and there were leadership. But was there any part of his life where he said that if you do this, then we can't do this, Allah, or it's difficult for us? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in the world, lived the whole life, and explained and taught the method to attain Allah Ta'ala's Qurb nearness. And this kathir and dhikr doesn't mean that we leave the dunya. No, it's impossible. We have to live in the world in parallel, but don't get lost in the taste and enjoyment of the dunya. That's what we need to understand. That dhikr of Allah should overwhelm us. This is dhikr kathira. That what should overwhelm us? Dhikr should overwhelm us. We should live in the world, live alongside all the resources and the assets and the work and the transactions, but the dhikr of Allah, the nearness to Allah, the love of Allah should overwhelm. Yes, it's fard, it's a duty to live in the world, to earn. Allah has given us hukm. We have to do this. That's why we're doing this in the dunya. Otherwise, enjoyment for us is not in the dunya. We recognize both things. We recognize both things as distinct and opposite. We can analyze this. That is this due to taste and love of the dunya? Or is this hukum for me that I have to bring up my children and look after my wife, and with responsibility I'm doing my actions and duties in the world so I can fulfill the rights that Allah Ta'ala has given to the people around me? So at the moment we enjoy, have the taste, we love counting notes and money and wealth. But no, we should just live in the world as much as we need it to fulfill our needs. And when this comes, then you won't do anything haram in the world. You won't have any haram money, you won't do actions that are lawful, that would be a restriction for you to get to Qurb Ilahi, because the dhikr of Allah overwhelms the individual. So this is dhikr kathira, dhikr kathira. So this is point number one. Then Hazrat said, alongside dhikr kathira, abundance of dhikr, these are the words of Hazrat, he said, remember this, alongside dhikr in abundance, in high quantity, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. That alongside dhikr kathira, every action of yours, as I said, eating, drinking, standing, sitting, sleeping, business, environment, attire, form, appearance, ibadat, worship, every part of your life, angle of your life, every action should be in accordance to the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how we should live our lives. That there is no path which is in opposition to the Prophet ﷺ. Many hundreds of thousands, ashiks and lovers and this and that. And you cannot see anywhere in the life where there's sunnah. Their face looks like someone else, the beard, they've got their own length according to their desire, the attire according to their desire. Allah says, this is not the tariqah. This is not the method. Dhikr, not empty dhikr. After dhikr of Allah, second important fundamental point, every breath of our life, every breath of our life, no action should come in our life where we're not doing ittiba of Rasulullah, some imitation of the Prophet. So Allah's Nabi has told us that you can do haram, earn haram, or lie, or take somebody's money, or lie to somebody else, or commit fraud or deceit. Is this obedience to the Prophet? Our beards come down to the belly buttons, and we have tasbihs in our hands, and we don't follow the guidance of the sunnah of Rasulullah in our lives. Yes, we have tasbihs in our hands, our beards are down to the belly button, and we are doing wrong actions, haram actions, unlawful actions. This is unfortunate. This is extremely unfortunate. So it's in our control. It's not necessary for us to go to haram. But yes, if we want to make our life valuable, then we need to leave the two opposites, contradiction, hypocrisy, and then standing, sitting, eating, drinking, walking, traveling, libas, eating, everything should be in accordance to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. I swear by Allah that such beautiful deen has explained to us. May Allah subhanallah, may Allah ta'ala allow all of his ni'mas and grace to be bestowed on Hazrat's grave. That I cannot move left and right from this. That a person can wilt from this and say, oh, I'm following the path of Allah. There's no way to be flexible from this path. The person cannot commit fraud or lie or cheat. And where you do something against the sunnah, then you have practiced against the deen and life is being a waste at that time. It's a waste. Remember this point. Every action, every breath of a Muslim that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, which is the property of Allah, that this action I'm doing, whose haqq am I breaking? Who am I breaking? The rights of my wife, of my children? Every single action has to be in accordance to the obedience to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, an imitation. And the third point, so you understand the first two points I've just summarized, but we will continue to develop these points and explain them more detail. So the third point, to get Allah Ta'ala's nearness, Qurb Ilahi. First, we said dhikr kathira. Secondly, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah in every breath of our life. That was number two. And the third point, Hazrat said that, look here, be careful of one thing. Hazrat used to give nasiha like this, that save yourself from the bad walana. Save yourself. Save yourself from the bad peer. Save yourself from the bad gathering. Save yourself from the bad society. Wherever you see anything bad, save yourself. Save yourself. Bad society, bad gathering. Because the Quran says, لا تقربوا فاحشة. That don't go even near to the fahisha. Wherever you see bad things, what is the standard? Wherever you see those actions taking place, words being muttered and exchanged, which the Sharia and the Sunnah of Rasulullah has defined as haram. Whatever is told to us as haram, if we see those actions being carried out, they're even a hair's width, then remember, you are going for the nearness to Allah, you are making your life valuable, you're trying to make your life valuable, then run away from that gathering which is against the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ and Allah Ta'ala's deen. If a Mawlana is giving such an exchange or words he's explaining which is against the Quran and the Sunnah, or Peer Sahib is doing bid'ah, innovation in Kharafat, such a gathering, you're sat in there and something said is wrong, or society where there's sin, where there's action in opposition to the deen, then today we see in the dunya traditions, weddings, in all of the actions that take place in the weddings, don't even imagine that you go there and you have to pass time there. Have you seen how much you have to give for Allah Ta'ala's qurb? How much you have to sacrifice? Either become dust or dirt, or become gold for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is short, my friends. Life is short. And the fourth point is very valuable, Hazrat mentioned. So Hazrat said, I've told you three things. I said, Hazrat, alhamdulillah, I've heard. Hazrat said, but, what example did Hazrat give? That if I decorate this room and I decorate all the four walls with everything in the ceiling, I say, take this room here, take it. And there are very expensive jewels and decorations, but there's darkness here. There's darkness and you cannot benefit from anything. I say, subhanallah. So look at the example that Hazrat gave. He said that, will you be able to take benefit? I don't know, where is the gold, where is the soil, where is the dirt, where is the milk, where is the sherbet? Okay, there's total darkness there. And Hazrat said that these points I've just told you are very valuable, but you will not be able to take benefit from them unless you have company of your sheikh, the company of your sheikh, the teacher. Subhanallah. So Hazrat said that light For all of these 3 points is that when you have light in your home, you can see everything. So these three first points, the light for them is the company of the Shaykh. Why? Because for these points, for success, dhikr kathira, and imitation of the Prophet ﷺ, and the points that I mentioned, that if in your practice and going against the actions that are going against Sharia, people are speaking against the deen to save yourself. So if you don't have the company of the Shaykh, then your ittiba of the Sunnah will be without rahmah. And the company, the fuyuz and the barakat will become a waste. So it's stated, Hazrat said, that to attain blessings and grace and rahmah, Hazrat said, I will explain to you where that comes from. Hazrat said, from the company of the Shaykh, from the company of the teacher. So sohbat of the Shaykh, what is the company of the Shaykh? Let's listen to this as well, understand it, don't just take it literally. So what is the link with the Shaykh, which will give you fuyuz and barakat and blessings and rahmah, from which we'll get light and we'll be able to see him. What is that? These are the four things. So first thing, the four principles for sohbat the Shaykh now. Four principles for the company of the Shaykh. You should have itaqad and belief in the Shaykh. Belief in the Shaykh. Number two, you should have love for your Shaykh. I'll tell you the same words. Love, I'll explain to you, Hazrat said. What is love for the Shaykh? That go beyond all of the limits. Go beyond attraction. Go beyond muhabbat. Ishq is what you need. Ishq. Deep-rooted passion. Because ishq will allow you to succeed. Muhabbat will not allow you to succeed. And attraction will allow you to succeed. When you have ishq with your Shaykh, that's when you will be successful. Because ishq will pave the way to success. And then Hazrat said that after this, after itiqad of the Shaykh, after ishq of the Shaykh, love for the Shaykh, and then third, obedience to the Shaykh. Person who doesn't have ishq will not obey the Shaykh. If I say sit like this, you say no problem, even if your back breaks, but you will not sit opposite to this. If I say that don't sit cross-legged in front of your Shaykh, this is a crime. Doesn't matter what happens, a person who will do anything, but he won't sit like that. That don't raise your neck high and look glaring and face to face. I'm telling you about the sohbat of the Shaykh, the adab. You'll say that this sohbat, this is giving me disrespect, looking glaring in the face and walking around and moving around like this without adab. So what does the murid do? He has to learn the adab, how to sit in the company of the Shaykh. They're a great example. I'll give you an example here. Itaat. So you have the first, you have the itiqad, the belief in the Shaykh, and you have the love for the Shaykh, and then you have itaat, and you will obey the Shaykh and follow the Shaykh. But you will only do that when you have deep-rooted passion and love for the Shaykh, the ishq. See what a journey this is, alhamdulillah. So obedience, and fourth, khidmat, the service for the teacher, for the Shaykh. So these are the four things that combine together to give rabta Shaykh, connection with the Shaykh. And as your rabta, your connection with your Shaykh becomes stronger, and these four principal elements of the sohbat of the Shaykh strengthen, then Allah Ta'ala's fuyuzat, Allah's barakat will increase, Allah's faiz, Allah's grace and blessings will increase. And as this increases, then in these three amal of yours, the light will increase, and the conclusion will be that your life will become valuable and you will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite Durood Sharif.